The top story by engagement on Hacker News this morning, with 1,071 points and 579 comments, isn't about software at all. It's UEFA and its 55 national associations announcing they will not participate in FIFA competitions. To put some structure around why this is significant, FIFA governs global soccer and runs the World Cup. UEFA governs European soccer and runs the Champions League and the European Championship. These are the two most powerful bodies in the sport, and for decades their relationship has been uneasy but functional. This statement suggests that relationship has broken past the point of functional.
What's striking about the HN discussion is how quickly it moved from sports to governance theory. The top comments weren't about which matches get canceled. They were dissecting FIFA's organizational structure, how monopoly power functions in international sports federations, and whether this could be the opening for a completely restructured global soccer ecosystem. One commenter drew parallels to the European Super League proposal from 2021, which collapsed under fan pressure within 48 hours. But this is structurally different. That was clubs breaking away from UEFA. This is UEFA itself breaking away from FIFA.
The economic stakes here are genuinely enormous. The FIFA World Cup generates somewhere north of $6 billion per tournament cycle, with a significant share of that driven by European participation. European clubs supply the majority of the players who make the World Cup compelling globally. If UEFA's 55 associations hold the line, you don't have France, Germany, Spain, England, Italy, or any other UEFA member competing in FIFA's marquee event. That's not a diminished World Cup, it's a different product entirely, and probably not one that commands the same broadcast rights.
There's a governance dimension here that I think gets underweighted. FIFA has faced corruption scandals stretching back years. The 2015 indictments of senior officials in the United States were the most visible, but there's been a persistent structural critique that FIFA's voting structure, where tiny federations with minimal global soccer presence hold equal weight to European giants, creates systematic misalignment between who controls the organization and who generates its value. UEFA's member associations have long felt they're subsidizing a power structure that doesn't serve their interests.
Right, and this is actually a textbook case of what economists call a holdup problem. UEFA generates enormous value, quality players, commercial markets, broadcast audiences, but FIFA captures a significant portion of that value through its control of the global competition framework. The question is whether UEFA has finally decided the cost of remaining inside that framework exceeds the cost of building an alternative.
What's interesting from an international relations lens is that this isn't purely bilateral. If UEFA walks, you then have a question about CONMEBOL, that's the South American Confederation, and whether they follow. South American soccer, led by Brazil and Argentina, is the other major cultural and commercial pillar of the global game. If CONMEBOL aligns with UEFA rather than FIFA, you effectively have a competing world structure. The HN commenter who described this as a WTO dispute where one side controls the best lawyers and the other side controls the best players put it well, I thought.
The precedent question matters too. International governing bodies in other sports will be watching this closely. When a major regional confederation decides the costs of federation membership outweigh the benefits and acts on that, the playbook that emerges here has implications well beyond soccer.
We won't know how this resolves for months, possibly years. But the mere fact that the statement was made publicly, with all 55 associations listed, suggests this isn't a negotiating bluff. UEFA has done the political math internally before going external.
The physics of institutional power are shifting here, and that kind of institutional question connects, interestingly, to some of the AI and research stories we're seeing today, where questions of who governs, who validates, and who captures value are equally central.